All right, good afternoon. I hope everyone is awake on the last day of TechEd after lunch. So I'll try to make it as compelling as possible to keep you all awake. My name is Casper de Jonge. I'm program manager at the Analyst Services team. And you might say, what does an Analyst Services team have to do with Power View? Well, quite a lot. Because the basis of Power View is the BI semantic model. That is what is underlying a perfect Power View model. And what is a perfect Power View model? A perfect Power View model is a model that is being optimized for Power View experiences. You've all seen Power View presentations, and it all looks so seamless and pretty. When you click on tables, automatically things are being selected. When you click on other measures, it automatically summarizes them. And these things don't come for free, so you actually have to do something for that. This session will show you why you would want to optimize your model for Power View, who this should be for, and how you can do that. So let's get going. What are we going to look at? We're going to look at optimizing the model for Power View. We're going to show you tips and tricks how to develop the right model. We're going to set reporting properties. That's the most important thing. We're going to look at how you can actually set up the connection to the tabular model in SharePoint. And we're going to look at Power View before and after model optimization so you can actually see what kind of things you need to do. And with that demo, most of the session is going to be this demo. So it's going to be one long demo. So let's switch to SharePoint, because Power View lives in SharePoint. That's the only place you can have Power View. There's no other way right now. What we have here is I'm a BI developer. I work in Contoso Communications. Those of you who've seen our sessions of me, I've tried to use the same use case. I work at Contoso Communications, and we've built a tabular model that we've given out to our end users. And those end users, those Power View users, are users who are not as familiar as the data with regular Power Pivot users or business users. These are more general users. These are the general management who wants to do some data analysis on their own data. We have given them data about subscribers, products, geography, and invoices, and we've tried to build them an encompassing model that shows them a lot of those things. So they can connect to it with Power View and give them the highly visual experience that they will get with Power View. So the only thing that they need to do is click on the link. And the way you can start Power View connected to a tabular model is by having a BI semantic model file, a BISM file. And we'll go into more details how you can create those things later on. But now I'm going to just play the end user and show you the perfect model in action. We click on the BISM file. It will open Power View. And we'll automatically open Power View with a connection to my tabular model that I have running in the background. And here we go. So we see the tables that I have here. We have political geography, product, subscriber, subscriber invoice, and time. What I can do now is, what we want to look at is, what are the sales per region? So what I can do is I can click on my region table, and I can click on my subscriber invoices, I can click on margin, and I can click on the number of units. And what Power View is very good at is have the ability to switch between visualizations, to really immediately give you the visualization that you need. So what we can do in this case, because we want to see the relationship between those things, is move it into a scatter chart. And you've all seen the bubbles and the scatter chart, but let's quickly go through it. This doesn't give me enough information, right? I now see just see some dots. So what I want to do is I want to create data labels. So now it gives me a little bit more information, right? We see East is actually doing better because he has more margin and he has sold more units. But I want to add an additional dimension. So what I can do is I can also add revenue. And now we see the bubbles are being filled in with revenue. So the bubbles are being greater. But what does this actually mean, what we see here? What does this margin, units, and revenue by region mean? This is just the big sum of region. So East, maybe they have started the year before the rest, and that's why they're now on the top. So I want to be able to see this by date, by time. What I can do is now click on date. And the first hint that you can have by that something has been happening with this model is there are all kinds of icons in front of these columns. And we'll get back to that later, but that already gives us a hint that someone has been working on this model. So what I can see now is I can play it, and now I can see East was actually doing better, and I can click out to see the highlighted path. So we can immediately see East was doing better, had much more margin in the beginning, and then it went back down, and then it went back up a little bit. So we can see the path. I want to see a little bit more results. I don't just want to see it by region. I want to see it by states. So here we have a bunch of states. And I actually don't want to see the total margin. I actually want to see the average margin. So what I can just do is click on the field and select average. Now I automatically get the average margin. But now we see a lot of dots here, so I might want to be able to slice. So I drag in region, and I make it into a slicer, and now I can actually see east and north. And here we can see South Dakota is doing better, and I can run it. And now we can play around with this information. So we can get a lot of insights. It all looks pretty simple, right? So let's continue our presentation, and in the end, we'll actually look at what was actually needed to get all this stuff working. So the next thing that I want to show is I want to see by products what's actually happening. So I can click on New View in PowerView, and this opens a second view. The first thing that I want to see is I want to see the revenue by device type. So do device type. I click on revenue. And again, I'm a highly visual person, so I don't want to see this table. Let's make it into a column chart. Into a column chart, and I can sort it by revenue descending. Now I immediately see that cable modems are doing much better than all the other products. But again, I want to be able to slice by region. I can just drag in region and switch it to slicer. Now I can click on this, and now this will automatically be filtered down per region. Okay, what else can we do? Well, the other thing that we can do is actually, I want to look at the actual product. So what I can do is just click on the product table. And I automatically added some fields. Which fields did it add? It added just some fields. Not just anything, a few previously selected fields by our IT app, IT pros. So that's where we see another hand of the preparation that my IT department has done for me. So what can we do here? Well, I don't want to see it in this order. And, of course, I see images and I see product ranking. So I see a rank here. I can sort by rank. So we see number one ranking product. And if I now click on slicers, you see that those values change here. Everything becomes interactable. And the other thing that I want to do is I don't just want to see it, in a static chart. I want to move it into a cart index. Make it a little bit larger, smaller, and again, this one as well, to work with the current resolution. So we have product margin by product, and now we can scroll down all the products. But again, I want to be able to see this by device type. So what I'm going to do, we're going to drag in device type on here. And this gives me tiles. Let me make this a little bit smaller. Now, this gives me tiles by product. So I can click on these guys, and now we automatically can switch between the interesting things. And the interesting thing here, as you immediately can notice, is we have a product called Business Premium Line. If I scroll down, we have another product called Business Premium Line. So you have two different products with the same name. And again, remember this. This is interesting information. But you can actually see them as two different products. So what else do I want to see? Well, I also want to see the year-to-date. So what I can do is go into my product table and product margin year-to-date and go into my timetable, select month of year, and make it into line chart. And let's go to modem. Okay, and we should be able to see a line here, but we don't see it right now. let's just continue. So what we see here is product margin by month of year. What else we can do? Well, actually, I don't want to just see my values by each and every region. I don't just want to click by it. I just want to be able to see it sliced up by region. So what I can do is I can delete this guy, go back to my region table, and just drag it in here. So now we immediately see it sliced up by region. So when I click on Central now, you see only the sliced up version. North, East, and all of those things. So you can slice by them. So what else do I want to see? Well, I want to see who actually made those sales. Who were our subscribers? Who are those persons? Who are those subscribers who were selling those things? So what we have in here is a characteristic called likelihood to churn. Let's drag it in. And this gives me my likelihood to churn for a customer. What I can do now is, again, visual, I want to add the revenue by it. And I want to make this a little bit smaller. Make it into a bar chart. Oh, the wrong one. That's okay. Looks pretty good as well. Immediately we can see here our sales per loyal customers. And I can sort by revenue, descending, and we can see that the least revenue is actually done by most loyal customers. And the most revenue is actually by those who already churned. So I want to look a little bit further into this. So what I can do is, again, create a new view, and I want to see by each and every subscriber who they are. So what I can do is I can go to my subscriber ID. This gives me a list of all the subscribers. And I want to see it by year of birth and income. And I want to see the relationship between those things. And again, if you want to see the relationship, you make it into a scatter chart. So one interesting thing here that you might notice is now color is put on year of birth, but actually I want to have that on the y-axis. And the interesting thing that you see right now, what PowerView is actually saying to me, okay, it says it's showing a representative sample to me. And what does that mean? Well, we have 180,000 subscribers. If I were to plot 180,000 dots here, you won't be able to see anything anymore. It would just be one black dot. So what PowerView actually does, it goes and asks the Tabular server saying, hey, give me a sample of your entire data set. And it'll actually return a randomized sample. And this randomized sample is being plotted here. But it actually warns you that it's not showing you all the values. This is only on the scatter chart. It's not on all other charts. And there's no way to turn it off if you want to. So what else? Well, this still doesn't give me a lot of information, right? So I want to see who actually made, who are those persons. So what I can do is I can drag and churn to color. And now, we start seeing things. For example, our most loyal customers are clustered around in this corner. And what is this corner? That is someone who's born between 1985 and 1967 and earns more than $120,000 a year. So those are our most loyal customers. And who are those who are likely to churn? Those are people who are born between 1970 and 1945 and earn less than $90,000. So that's very interesting information that I can get out of this. And so that is looked all pretty smooth and pretty simple. But how did we get to this model? Because we did a lot of things that looked very simple, but actually wasn't. So what I'm going to show you now is how I got to this model and what I did to get here. The first thing that we did is, in our organization, we have rolled out SQL Server 2012, and we've given Excel to all our business users, and they have started creating Power Pivot files, and they started working on it, and they shared their workbooks on SharePoint. And we've identified one model using our management dashboard that is being used quite a lot in the organization. And it's being used more and more. But we have some questions around it that people have been unable to understand what is actually going on. So let's take a look at this model. So I'm going to my Power Pivot gallery. And here's the workbook that someone created. It looks pretty good. Controls of communications, we see KPIs, MPU analysis, plan performance, all those cool things inside Excel. This looks pretty good, but as of SQL Server 2012, you also have an option to click on Open It directly in PowerView. So this is a model created by a business user. And this is the same model, but now it hasn't been touched. It hasn't been optimized. So what happens if I create the PowerView report? The first thing that you will see is, of course, we have different names on the dimensions. We have just some names that are meaningful for the business user because she has created the project. Her team knows what this is all about, but your average end user will not know this. And the other thing is, and those are not necessarily has anything to do with PowerView, but it's in general. If you want to share to more end users, you need to optimize their experience. And we see columns like latitude, longitude, IDs, keys. We're missing an image. We don't see any images here. There are much more columns. So it's a little bit of a mess. But that's okay for the Power user who's built this report because she knows what's going on here. This is not okay if you want to share this to all your end users in your organization. So you need more to do more things. So what I've done is I've picked up this Excel sheet and I've opened it up in SQL Server Data Tools. And SQL Server Data Tools is our new Visual Studio 2010 shell where you can actually build your tabular models. And in this case, what I've done is I've created a new project. And I've picked a new project type called Import from PowerPivot. And when I click on Import from PowerPivot, you are actually able to point to your Excel file, and it will automatically pull in all the metadata, and it will create a new project for you. And now you can continue working on that. So you already know what kind of data that you have. The only thing that you need to do is maybe add some data and hide some other columns and optimize it. But this is an easy way for them to get started and for you to continue working on it. If you want to know more about this, you can also go watch my tabular model session that I did yesterday. I did much more on how you can go into Visual Studio and create a tabular model as a BI professional user. This time I will focus mostly on the PowerView experience. So what we have right now is a very PowerPivot looking like interface. We have all the tables here, we have the subscribers, we have the time, subscriber invoices. And how I got here in the beginning is I just imported some values. I can go to my table import wizard, I just clicked on the import wizard, and I can start importing data from all kinds of sources. In this case, this is already prepared, and there's not much that you actually have to do. You can just import tables, create relationships, and actually you're good to go. That's all there is to it. Very different as when you're used to multidimensional. So what we have here is a table. What I can do is I can switch to my diagram view, which gives me a view of all the tables inside my model. Again, this is a... We can see all the views inside my model. What I can now start doing is I can start optimizing. So we do rename of the product table. And what I've already done is I've optimized all other tables. And we're now going to work on the DIM product table. The first thing is rename the table, hide some columns. I can go into click on optimize and we optimize the product table. We can hide IDs, multi-selecting, device ID, launch date, ETL load ID, those kinds of things my end users won't care about. Right mouse click, hide from client tools. And an interesting thing to notice here, I've hidden them now. My end users won't be able to see them. I could use them in DAX formulas and things like that. If you really don't need a table or a column, get rid of it. Because everything in a tabular model is in memory, right? So everything is in memory. And as soon, especially ID columns that are high cardinality, they take up most of the space of your memory. So if you get rid of those columns that you never intend to use, you save up a lot of space. Okay. So I've hidden those. I've modified my product table. The other thing that I can do is I can create descriptions. Go back here. In PowerPivot, we had a right mouse click descriptions. We have a ribbon. Here we have a properties grid. just what you would expect from Visual Studio. So what I can do is click on my product table, and I can start typing a description. In this case, I already added the description. This table contains products we have sold in the last decade. And now these descriptions will also show up in PowerView. So you can add descriptive metadata to your model, and this will show up in PowerView, and also in Excel. Okay, so we have hidden some columns. We've renamed the table. That was pretty straightforward. One thing that I want to show you is a little bit of a sidestep. But what I was doing here, I was working with products. I was working with subscribers, with invoices. And 6 months ago, I created a model that was actually looking at all the subscribers and the characteristics of those subscribers and looking at what is their likelihood to churn based on all the data that I had in the past. A regular data mining model. So what I've done is I've created a data mining model just in our multidimensional model. And I've created a model viewer which started clustering all our subscribers. And this is existing data mining behavior as we've had for years and years and years. But it actually clustered all our subscribers in our data warehouse. And it found 6 different clusters. I looked at the characteristics and I gave them a name. And now I want to get this data and I want to enrich my Tableau model with it. So I'm going to show you one thing that you can do is you can add on to the model. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create import from data source. Because everything inside the Microsoft BI stack is queryable, right? So what we can do is I can select multidimensional analysis services. I click multidimensional service. Connect to my profitability model. Yeah, your service account. And now, I'm not going to actually write an MDX statement. I'm going to write a DMX statement, which is a data mining query. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to select the cluster for each and every subscriber key from DIM subscriber. And I would like my data mining model to predict it. Before I forget to make some promotion, after this session, there's going to be a session on data mining in SQL Server 2012 by Mark Tabido. So if you want to know more about data mining, there's a whole session right after this session that shows you what is in Microsoft SQL Server 2012 for data mining. So in this case, I'm going to add some data mining information to my Tableau model. I'm going to press Finish. Now it's going to connect my data mining model and retrieve all the information, all the clustering that it can think of for each and every subscriber. And it's going to just add it to my Tableau model. So this is a pretty simple way so that you can add data mined information to your Tableau model. And of course, same thing works also in Power Pivot. So we've imported 138,000 rows. The only thing that we now need to do is create a relationship. Subscriber key. And what I now want to do is I don't want to show this table to my end users, so I'm going to hide it. Hide from client tools. And I'm going to my subscriber table. And I'm going to add this information to this subscriber table using a DAX formula. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a new column. And if you want to know more about DAX and those calculated columns and measures, I had a previous session this morning that went into much more details about DAX and calculated columns. And look it up online. It's already available. So what I can do here is I can use the relationship that we just had to pull in data from another table. So what I can do is equals related churn cluster. And now it's going to execute this formula for each and every row inside this table. And we'll actually use the relationship that we had to get the cluster for the other, for the subscriber that we already have. And here we are. We added this information to my users. Call churn. Okay. So far, so good. We've enriched the model. We've made it a little bit more visible. How does it actually look like in PowerView now? So what happens is whenever you create a Tableau model in SDT, under the covers, and for those of you who are in my Tableau model session, I've already explained this, but this is a very important piece to explain. Whatever happens if you create an SDT model in Tableau, it automatically creates a Tableau model on your local or any workspace server that you have entered. Here you can see the properties on a BIM file. It says workspace server is over there. In this case, it's on a local machine, but you can also make one big server for all their developers where they can all develop their models on. But what happens is, as soon as I create a project in SSDT, it automatically adds it to that model, to that server instance. So you now see a workspace database here called profitability model underscore administrator underscore large GUID. So it automatically created this database. And I can actually show you. You can go to SSMS, SQL Server Management Studio, connect it to my Tabular instance. I press refresh, and how we can here we now can see profitability model underscore administrator underscore large GUID. So this thing is now available for me to use. And now I can actually connect with PowerView against my temporary database, the one that I'm working with. So what I can do is go back to my PowerPrint gallery, share documents, and here you see those BISM files. So I have a profitability model, and this is the one that I deployed, was fully finished. And here is my temporary one, profitability model underscore dev. Let me open it up, show you what it looks like. And it just says profitability model underscore dev dot BISM. It points to this database, localhost slash tabular, and this is the database name. And that's all there is to it. That's how you can create a connection to a database file, to a tabular model file, and then start PowerView on top of it. One tip that I would like to give you is you only can create those BISM files and RSDS files if you have your team site is being enabled to PowerPivot for SharePoint and reporting services. So both need to be enabled on this team site that you're working on. And the other thing is, by default, the BISM file and the RSDS file won't show up in this particular document library. So what you need to do is go to the library, library settings, advanced settings, and here you can say allow management of content types. By default, it's turned off on to no, turn it on to yes. And this is something that most people, when they just turn on PowerPivot, they think, why can't I create a BISM file? Well, this is exactly why. By default, document libraries are not supportive of that. So you need to turn that on, go back to your library settings, and now you get a new piece in here that says content types. So now what you can do is add those existing content types. And I've added the BI semantic model file and the reporting data source. So it's a quick tip. Now you can create your own documents here, new document, BI semantic model connection, report data source. So there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about. And in this case, what you want to do is your PowerView is running inside SharePoint, right? And your Tabular model is probably running not in SharePoint. You don't want to have your Tabular model instance running on the same machine as you have SharePoint running. So you probably want to have a different instance where you run your SharePoint, your Tabular model. So who knows what happens when you have something inside SharePoint and you have a different machine somewhere else and you want to have your credentials flowing. Yes, double hop and Kerberos. So if you want to get those things working, you need to have Kerberos set up. And for those of you who go to a lot of customers, you will know that this is a pretty interesting thing to set up and configure because no company is the same and a lot of companies don't know even what's going on with Kerberos. So that's quite a lot of hassle. What we have done here is we've made a workaround. The BISM file, so how it usually works is I have a BISM file. I'm connected. So Casper is connecting to PowerView. My credentials, Casper, are flow through SharePoint. All the way is good because we have claims. Everything is hunky-dory and works great. But then as soon as I go outside of the SharePoint farm, I go to my Tabular model instance. And my Tabular model instance will say, who are you? Where are you from? If you don't have Kerberos set up, he won't trust me because I'm from a machine that he doesn't trust. So he will say, sorry, go away. And he will send me back with an authorization failure. What the BISM file actually will do now is try again. He says, okay, I know you. I know your tricks. Let's try again. And if you've given the service account where PowerView is running under admin privileges on your Tabular model instance, this is an admin connection. And an admin connection is always allowed within Kerberos. So it makes an admin connection. And as soon as it's made those second connection, The analysis services engine is smart enough that it can switch the user. So it only uses that admin privileges to create the first connection, then it switched the user back to Casper. And now I actually see the results of Casper. So if you have security set up on your Tableau instance and those kinds of things, it will be used as Casper, not as the admin user that has started to create this connection. So it's a workaround. It's something that, because usually what happens, you have a BI consultancy job, you go in into a completely unknown territory, and it's a little bit of a mess, so you do not know what to do, and this is a way to get quickly up and running. And it's even just as safe as Kerberos is. Maybe they have policies that they won't allow it, so you can also set up Kerberos later. But this is a way to get quickly up and running. So let's connect to the model. We'll come back to the RSDS file a little bit later. So I click on Profitability Model Dev, and now we're connecting to the profitability model we're just working on. So let's start recreating the first presentation that we did. So I click on region. So far, so good. That's pretty straightforward. Now let's go to my subscriber invoices, click on revenue, and units. And now immediately something has happened what didn't happen before. We now see a lot of rows. And for those of you who have been paying attention, you see that there's a difference here as well. My units here don't have a sigma sign. And a sigma sign means that Power BI will automatically group by it. It will automatically summarize these fields. Now it didn't have a sigma sign. So Power BI is not aggregating it for me. It's giving me a whole bunch of rows where all the units are. In my organization, units and usage are always aggregates. I don't care as much for each and every unit, number of units. I can do two things. I can fix it myself right now and do a sum. This is what we expected to happen. But I don't want my end users, the ones that I'm building this for, to have to do this each and every time. So this is the first optimization that we're going to build. So what we can do is go back to the model, select subscriber invoices, and here is units and usage, and we can multi-select them, and we can change a property called summarize by. And summarize by is a property that we can set in a few different ways. First of all, by default, it's set to default, which actually means nothing is being set. Any client tool can do whatever it wants. But if you set it to average, distinct count, sum, min, and count, it will by default, when you click on it, do that aggregation for you. Sometimes you have columns like, for example, year. You most definitely never want to aggregate it. You want to always put them on rows. So we also have an option called do not summarize. And that will mean it will never automatically summarize, but always put them automatically on rows. This is the only reporting property that also works in the Power Pivot field list. So if you set this property, this will show up in Power View and in Power Pivot as well. So in this case, I'm going to set it to sum. So one interesting thing here to notice is that these are reporting properties. These are metadata only. So our engine will never do anything about this. If you ask for this field in a DAX formula or an MDX, we will always just do the default thing. This is metadata only, and the client tools can decide how they want to use it. So if we go back in, and now I want to refresh. Which refresh button should I click? We have two. One in PowerView and one in the browser. So what's the difference between the two? Well, the one in PowerView will just again send the queries. It doesn't get me new metadata, because that's what we changed now. We changed metadata. And metadata means a descriptive something on this particular column. I need to summarize it by something else. And that's when you need to click on the Uber browser refresh. So press refresh, leave this page. Now we'll open up Power View again, and now it will have given me the metadata. And the way that Power View gets metadata is by CSDL out. So we have a CSDL out from our Tableau model. So I don't know how many of you are aware of, but Analysis Services has discover commands. You can send XMLA to Analysis Services with all kinds of discover commands. You can say what kind of models do you have, what kind of cubes, what kind of tables, all these kinds of things you can ask our engine, and it will return you XML. In this case, we have now added a new thing called Discover CSDL. And this will give you a CSDL output of a Tableau model. And this is but the default CSDL as exists in the world. So it's entities and relationships. And metadata is added to it. So in this case, if we now go ahead and do it again, we do region, revenue, and now you see the two sigma signs here, units and usage. You now click on units, you automatically get the sum. Okay, so that's the first thing. So what's next? Next, I want to add an image to product table. So we don't see it now, so let's go ahead and add it. So go to my product table, and what we have in our organization is we have a site somewhere where all the images of the products live, and they're identified by the product key. So what I can do is insert a column. There are two ways you can get images in. This is one way, but the second way is you can have binary fields inside your SQL Server database that contain all the images. You can import that into the Tableau model, and Power View will be able to use those fields, those binary fields, and be able to display them. So what I'm going to do is just create a simple calculated column that says HTTP localhost port 81 and product key and .jpg. So now we've created a calculated column that will give us this string for each and every field inside this table. So we'll automatically create one for each and every product key. It's updating. And now we have this calculated column. And I've made a small mistake. So we need to do it again. Now we can rename the column to image. And now we can go back to PowerView. So we can refresh this page again because we've added this new metadata again. Go to product. Here's image. I add it. And we don't see what we expected. So we see a bunch of strings. So what's happening here? Well, how would PowerView know that this particular column, which contains strings, is actually an image? It needs to know. We need to tell it. We need to, again, put metadata on this column to say, this thing contains image URLs. So we can go back to profitability model, click on the image, and say, for each and every column, we have a whole bunch of properties. And these are what we call the reporting properties. And one of them is image URL. And we'll go through all properties today. So in this case, I'm going to say image URL is true. By the way, all those reporting properties that you see here are also available in Power Pivot if you want to do them, if you want to set them. They're all available under the Advanced tab in Power Pivot. Okay, so image URL is true. Let's go back in, refresh, let it get the new metadata. Product, image, and now we see all the images showing up. Okay, so what else do we want to do? Well, one of the other things that we want to do is now is we want to make sure that when we... So the other thing that we had is, for example, if we go to product name and we do revenue, so again, you see this business premium line, right? We showed that we actually had two products with the same name, but now we actually only see one product with the same name. And let's add revenue. And the problem here now is we only see one product with one product, but this is actually two products. So we need a way to unduplicate those things. And our business user knows about this, so she knows what she can do. But all our end users in our organization, it's very easy to get a mistake. Here is kind of obvious to see because it has a lot of revenue. But let's say you have an average here. You will never be able to see that we actually have two different products. So we need to have a way to unduplicate those. Another thing that I quickly wanted to show you is, let's say you have a lot of columns in your matrix. And one of the core characteristics of PowerView is that you can switch visualizations easily. What happens if I switch this to a line chart? It's becoming a big mess. Part of you doesn't know what it needs to do here, because there are so many different fields that I added. What should it place where, and how should I be able to get the most out of this? We can also optimize this, so we're going to optimize both. Go back to the table, delete this guy, go back to my model, and we can click on the product table. So the first, on the table level, we also have two properties. All of these properties are also available on the column level, but I like to do them on the table because they're easier to use. The thing that we're going to change is the table behavior. We're going to change how the table behaves in PowerView. So here we have a dialog that actually says, the property on this dialog allows you to change the default behavior of different visualization types and default grouping behavior in client tools for this table. So the first thing that I need to do, because everything else is grayed out, is select a row identifier. So what is the row? What is the column inside this table that contains unique values for each and every row inside this table? Because we need to have something uniquely identifiable. And in this case, it's usually an ID or key. In this case, it's product ID. And this allows us to get to set all the other properties. And the properties that I'm going to set now is keep unique rows. And what this means is, if the user selects this column, I want it to keep all the unique rows based on the row identifier. In this case, I'm going to check product name. The other two, I'm going to leave for a second. Press OK. And now we're setting those properties in the model. Okay, we can go back, refresh, leave this page. Product. And now you see one of those icons appear. Because we've now told PowerView that this is a special column. This is a special column that we can use. If I now click on product name, you see we now have two business premium lines. For those of you who are familiar with our multidimensional products, this is something very similar to key versus name in multidimensional. The big difference here is this is key versus name in metadata only. So if you use a DAX function or anything else, this won't be picked up. So DAX will never return two different values. This is metadata, and the client tools is up to fixing it. So an interesting thing here to note is when you now select product name, it is added to this table. But under the covers, PowerView also adds product ID to this table. It won't show you, but it's actually doing that. So if you were to get strange results in some DAX formula that you've written under the assumption that you only have product name column selected, this is the reason why. So if you are, for example, doing a rank in a special way where you only select this column instead of the entire table, you can get strange results. This is a quick warning. If you get into those strange results, as soon as you start setting this particular property, Crescent starts or PowerView starts behaving a little bit different. Quick warning. Okay, what else? Well, yes?
We hide the product ID from the table, right?
Yes.
Now, we add it again to a relation just to remove the double.
Yes.
Is it affecting the performance in this way?
No. It's not affecting the performance. Hiding columns is also not very much affecting the performance. No. No, only if you, so hiding a column doesn't affect memory at all. If you're deleting a column, then it starts affecting memory. So if you delete it, then you won't be able to do this. But if it's hidden, it doesn't affect memory at all. It just doesn't show for the end user. Okay, so let's continue. So the other thing that we wanted to do is we want to make sure that whenever we work with this table, PowerView knows we're actually going to promote a few columns. We're going to tell PowerView, hey, if you're doing visualizations on this particular tables and fields in this table, these are very important columns. So we're going to go back to table behavior. And there are two more properties down here called default label and default image. And what we can do here is we can say the default label of this table is product name. So if you have one column that you can pick from this table that actually represents the values inside this table, they are in this column. If you want to do it for images, check this image table. And this affects how Power View actually shows values. I'll show you this in a second. Okay, let's refresh again, leave this page. Okay, we do product, fit the window, turn that off. Product name, subscriber invoices, revenue. Now we do device name, device type, add more columns again, manufacturer, plan, I don't know. A whole bunch. Now we switch the line. And now you see Power View automatically started to make sense of things. Because we've now promoted this one column saying, hey, if you want to switch to a visualization that only knows how to display one thing, for example, a line chart, this is what you need to put on the values, on the axis. So now it automatically makes sense. Okay. So the next thing that I want to show you is, what we could do before as well is click on the product table. And then it automatically adds some fields to my window, right? Right now, nothing happens. So what I need to do is go back to my model, click on product table again, and set our default field set. So this is the default field set that we automatically have when you click on the table. So what I can do now is add image, product name, and I also wanted to add my margin, sum of margin. But I don't see it here. Why is that? Well, because the default field set looks at fields in the table. And we don't have a measure inside this table that says sum of margin. So we really need to have them inside this table. So it isn't possible to pick fields from multiple different tables and create one default field set. And also not pick measures from another table. So what you need to do is create a measure here. And for those of you who came to my Tableau model session know that if you want to create a measure, you need to use the calculation area, the measure grid. So we can now here do ref per product dot equals is sum of subscriber invoices, revenue. That's all there is to it. So very straightforward measure. The other interesting thing is that is being picked up by Power View is the formatting. So if you now set it to currency, it will automatically format it here, and it will be picked up by Power View as well. So if you set formatting here, it will automatically be picked up. So now let's go back to my table, click on default field set. We have image, product name, and the ref per product. The other thing that we can do is change the order. So that will change the order of how they will actually show up in Power View. Pressing OK. Go back to Power View, refresh, leave this page. Now we can click on product table, and now you see it only adds those particular columns that I actually selected. So it's much easier now to start working with this table. There are many columns in here, which are interesting in the beginning, which are interesting in most cases, we can optimize this experience for those end users, those business users who want to start working on it. There are a few tips in the... And the other thing is, before I continue, is when you now switch to, for example, the card index, is it now automatically knows, you can see we have the product name here as a big label on top, and we see the big image in the beginning. This is actually being picked up by the default label and default image that we set before. Now, Power View knows that the values from this particular column in this table are much more important and are important for this values in this table. So I'm putting this on top, and I'm putting this image up to the front. So it automatically knows what to do and how to improve the visualizations by default. If you wouldn't have said anything, Business Premium Line would just be the same way as ref per product, and the image would just be an image. There won't be anything special with it. Okay. A few more things that I want to show you before we continue is if you want to do year-to-date calculations, and it's a quick tip because I've already extensively talked about this in my previous DAC session, so if you want to know more about this, you can watch that session online. But what you want to do is as soon as you want to start using time intelligence functions in our DAX formula engine, you need to go to the timetable and mark this thing, table, as a date table. That will allow those DAX time intelligence functions to work. Let's say, for example, you want to do a year to date or a previous year and those kinds of formulas in DAX. This is the way that you can do it. Another thing that I want to show you is those RSDS files that we had in the beginning. So here we have the BISM files, but we also have the RSDS files. And these RSDS files are already existing connection files that we have inside SharePoint. So what we have here is, and I can click on Add a Data Source Definition. This is a much more advanced thing. So what this thing does, it asks you for data source type. In this case, I'm connecting to BI Semantic Model for PowerView. We added the data source, a catalog, and here we can actually store credentials. So that's the only thing that you can actually do with it, additional thing. Very interesting as well is to notice that they have said Marks BI Semantic Model for PowerView. But currently, this only works in multidimensional, in tabular. It doesn't work in our multidimensional environment. So currently, we cannot allow PowerView against a multidimensional server or model. We are actively working on it. We don't have a timeline for it right now. We are actively working on making this available as soon as possible. So this means in the near future, you can actually have your already existing multidimensional cube and have PowerView on top of it. So then you can use the same BISM file or this RSDS file to connect to it. So what I have done in this case, I've connected to the same Tableau model that I've created, but now as a different user. And what I can do, I can click on it. Oh, sorry. Create PowerView report. And what now happens if I click on regions, we now only see one region. So what I've done is I've created security inside my Tableau model, and this test user is only allowed to see one region, not everything else. So you can see that the security that you've set in your Tableau model will be affected also in the PowerView model that is connecting on top of it. So you can add security. In this case, let's go to the model. I went into SSMS. I created a new role. Let's open it up. I've given the East role read access. I've added the member test user to this role. And I've added a row filter on political geography. And it says, only allow rows from political geography table where the region is East. And for those of you who are familiar with multidimensional, there's one big difference between multidimensional security and tabular security. In multidimensional, if you didn't use a dimension in your table, in the matrix that you're using, it wouldn't affect the security that you added to the model. Let's say you would have a political geography table dimension in there, you added security to it, and now you would just look at the sum of revenue by months, you would just see all the sum of revenue by all the months. Tabular is different. If you create a relationship in one place, it will automatically flow down the relationships through the relationships to all other tables. So it's automatically filtered. We don't have a concept called visual totals, as you have in multidimensional inside Tabular. So what that means, if I go back in here and I would deselect region, you immediately see the number of units is the same. But if I do it by product device name, we still see the same number of units. So that doesn't change. Okay. Let's go back. And that's about it for the demo. Let's go back to the slides. I have a few more slides and some architectural slides that I want to show you. Let's go back here. So what does the architecture look like? What is the PowerView architecture in general? So we have a PowerView client. And this PowerView client connects to SharePoint. And SharePoint usually has a different web front end and a different app server. So it connects to a web front end server where we have RS web front end running. This connects to the app server. The app server has an RS server running. And this RS server is integrated in SharePoint mode. It has running DAX extensions and ADOMD.NET. And based on the connection file that I used and what is in the connection, it goes to a certain place. Sometimes when we use the BISM file, it will actually read the information from the BISM file. And based on the information that is inside the BISM file, it goes to a Tableau model. And this could be an Excel for PowerPoint, or it can Excel for PowerPivot, or it can be an AS Tableau model. And what you can see here is, if we follow the Excel PowerPivot model side, is someone has shared a PowerPivot workbook, again, to a web front-end server where we have PowerPivot web service running. And that connects to the PowerPivot system service. And that has an AS server running in SharePoint mode. It's an integrated mode. So whenever you try to connect from PowerView to PowerPivot, it makes a round trip. It first goes to the RS web front-end, then to the app server, then to the PowerPivot system service. That will actually fetch the database file from inside the Excel file and reloads the data in there. That is all the stuff that happens when you connect to a PowerPivot file. If you connect to an actual Tableau server, it won't go that route. It will branch off and will go directly to the AS Tableau server running in Tableau mode. So I've created an SDT Tableau model in SDT. I've deployed it to an AS server Tableau mode. And you could have direct query running onto your SQL server. For those of you who weren't in my Tableau session, let me quickly show you what this would be for direct query mode. What I've done here is I've created a connection file, a BISM file, to a Tableau model running in direct query mode. And what is a Tableau model running in direct query mode? Well, what you can do is you can click on this thing, and actually looks pretty much the same. I did already demo this in another demonstration, but I want to show you as well. It looks very much the same. You can do revenue, get the revenue values, we get the products. It's the first time. So we get the number of revenues, we can do that by device type. And what is actually happening here is, it's not querying against a Tableau mode running in server, in memory. It's actually directly passing through to the underlying database. So it's changing the DAX query into a SQL query. And it's actually directly executing against the SQL Server database. I can show you. Let's go to demo. Let's open up this demo thing. We have one row here. If I go into my database, tables, demo, edit rows. It's one thing to notice here about this direct query mode. This only works in DAX. It doesn't work in MDX or Excel. So you can only connect to a nano service Tableau mode running in direct query mode through DAX queries and PowerView. So I've added a few rows. So what I can do now is refresh, and I will see those new rows are being added automatically. So this is the same concept. The only thing that's different is that it's now actually translating all those DAX queries that are being sent by PowerView into the underlying SQL Server engine. So it's making it into SQL Server. And I'm saying SQL Server only because we currently only support SQL Server as a data source. If you have feedback on that, please file a connect item. This will come to our desks in Redmond, and we'll actually take a look at that. So we very much would like to hear from you what you think about direct query and what kind of data source you would like to see supported. Okay, let's go back. So this is the general overview, PowerView architecture. Are there any questions on this? So, no. I don't think that the actual SQL Server database that you use as a content database for SharePoint It doesn't have to be enterprise, I think. I do know that you need enterprise SharePoint licenses to be able to run them. So you need to have enterprise SharePoint to be able to run all the Marks OBI stack. Can you combine the two? So can you have direct query, one table running in direct query mode, and one table running in memory? Unfortunately, no. The answer is no. And what would be even more interesting is if you have a table running in memory, and we have partitions in Tableau model. So what if you could have your history partition running in memory, and only the last week running direct query? So those are things we are looking into. So as I said, we'd love to hear your feedback on those kinds of things. There are many opportunities. There's only this much amount of time, so we need to prioritize as well on our side. Okay, let's continue. So what did we see? We saw PowerView on top of PowerPivot. We saw PowerView on top of the Tableau model. We can move PowerPivot files into a Tableau model. We've seen how we can optimize a model for PowerView. There is a link here that goes to samples. Our UE team, our documentation team, has done a great work on creating samples on how you can optimize your PowerView models. So you can download the sample workbooks and models, and these slides will be available for you very soon for download. So you can then download them and start working on yourself. Some related content. Business intelligence data visualizations. Session by Jens there. Very good to actually show you what kind of data visualizations you can do. Deploying and managing a PowerPivot for SharePoint. So this goes into much more details what SharePoint stuff is needed when you want to run PowerPivot there. Actually, I think all those sessions except building stylish PowerView reports have already been. The building stylish PowerView reports is, I think, still, there's a repeat session later today that goes into building stylish PowerView reports. And they will actually show you all the visualizations that you have for PowerView and not so much go into the modeling aspect. And of course, developing and managing an BI semantic model in SQL Server 2012 goes into more details on what you can do with the Tableau model, partitioning, refreshing, managing, all those kinds of things. If you want to hear, ask questions, I'll be here hanging around for a while before I head off. Okay, if you have questions, comments, you can find me in all different places. You can send me an email. You can go to my blog, powerpivotblog.nl, and ask a question there. You can find me on Twitter. So if you have comments, if you have feedback on whatever you want to tell me about the product, don't hesitate to contact me. We love hearing from whoever is using our products what they're missing, what they're thinking, but also we would like to hear the good stories, of course. Some track resources, and we would very much like to hear from you what you thought of this session, and please submit your evaluations. So let's answer a few more questions if the people have questions. Yeah. Yes. There's currently no translation in Tableau models. So the translation that you know, so is that what you're asking? So are you familiar with multidimensional?
Yeah.
So we have a translation features there. Is that what you're looking for? Ability to translate the
field names.
Yeah, the field names. Currently not. We're looking into that.
Can you do
anything with perspectives in that area? No. No, perspectives just allows you to see a subset of your model. It doesn't allow you, well, you could do something if you really, but that means importing the tables multiple times, so that's probably not something that you want to do. And by the way, perspectives are also not supported in PowerView, unfortunately. Any other questions? No? I'll be here hanging around. Thank you very much for your attention, and have a good, safe trip home.